Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seifker, your host for the program, so very happy and blessed to be back here with you again following a month or so of a little hiatus. Thanks so much for joining me today. And confirming what I said at the end of the last new program back in May, we do have a lot to talk about. Wow. By a vote of 6-3, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health Organization that the Constitution does not confer a right to abortion, and thus are Roe and Casey overruled. So with that majority decision, Roe has not lived to see its 50th anniversary, thanks be to God. The years and years of prayers, sufferings, and apostolic works of so many good Christians have yielded some amazing fruit glorifying God. But we still have a long way to go to change hearts and minds, and we must make sure that, as the late Father Richard John Newhouse once said, we not grow weary or rest until every human being created in the image and likeness of God is protected in law and cared for in life. So yes, lots to talk about today. But first things first, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you today for the gift of our lives and for the lives of all of our brothers and sisters. We know there is nothing that destroys more life than abortion. Yet we rejoice that you have conquered death by the resurrection of your Son. We are ready to do our part in ending abortion. Today, we commit ourselves never to be silent, never to be passive, never to be forgetful of the unborn. We commit ourselves to be active in the pro-life movement and never to stop defending life until all our brothers and sisters are protected and our nation once again becomes a nation with liberty and justice, not just for some, but for all, born and unborn, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's go now to this week's in the news. Life News reported this week on a new national poll conducted by Harvard University and the Harris Polling Firm that shows that Americans essentially support the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe and Casey. The results of the survey, which were released on July 4th, revealed that 75% of Americans agree that the Supreme Court should not be deciding abortion laws, but that the issue instead should be left to Congress or the states. The poll also found that 37% would like to see abortion banned entirely, with only rape and incest as exceptions, while another 49% support a heartbeat law that bans abortions after 6 weeks. 72% support banning abortions after 15 weeks. Finally, the poll found 36% of Americans saying that the Dobbs case makes them more likely to vote Republican, 36% say it makes them more likely to vote Democrat, and the rest say that the decision has made no difference in their voting preferences. And last week, following the Dobbs decision, Elizabeth Warren, a Democratic U.S. senator from Massachusetts, introduced legislation attacking pro-life pregnancy care and resource centers that have been helping women facing unplanned and challenging pregnancies for decades. The bill, which is called the Stop Anti-Abortion Disinformation Act, or the SAD Act, would direct the Federal Trade Commission to prescribe rules prohibiting disinformation in the advertising of abortion services and for other purposes. The sponsors of the bill claim that abortion is, quote, an essential component of reproductive health care and that women should have the freedom to decide whether and when to have a child, because it is key to the ability of an individual to participate fully in democracy, close quote. Ever since Roe and Casey were overturned, pregnancy care centers have come under intense fire, including the Women's Care Center here in Bloomington, which leaders of the Party for Socialism and Liberation have claimed is a fraud and that it deceives women, shaming them into not having an abortion. And Monroe County Prosecutor Erica Oliphant has said that she doesn't believe that she could legally or ethically commit to not prosecuting crimes of abortion should could Indiana end up banning the procedure? In a statement given to Indiana Public Media, Oliphant said that she is unequivocally pro-choice and is deeply saddened and disappointed by the Supreme Court's decision. However, the county prosecutor stated that she took an oath to uphold the state constitution and refusing to prosecute abortion cases could conflict with that pledge. Marion County Prosecutor Ryan Mears announced on June 24th that he would not bring action against anyone involved with an abortion if a ban does go into effect. So far, Mears is the only Hoosier prosecutor to make such a vow. Finally, 27 unborn children were violently killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, and 33 were put to death the week before. Women continued to come in large numbers from out of state, particularly from the bluegrass state of Kentucky. Please be sure to contact your local representatives, as well as Governor Eric Holcomb, to demand that they pass legislation that will give legal protection to the unborn here in Indiana. A day of prayer and fasting is being called for on July 25th, when the General Assembly will convene to address the issue. Indiana State Representative John Jacob has called July 2022 one of the most important months in the history of our state. And that's your weekly In the News. Wow, so this is the first post-Roe show of Pro Life to the Max. We'll probably all remember where we were and how we came to hear about this monumental decision that now allows states to ban abortions and protect the lives of women and unborn babies. And what a special day, liturgically speaking, that the High Court's decision was released to the public upon. Friday, June 24th, the solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And to add more joy to that providential date, June 24th is normally the celebration of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. So next year and every year after, unless a higher solemnity takes precedence, we'll be celebrating the birth of John the Baptist, even as we celebrate the anniversary of the end of Roe and Casey. And of course, this is really special because the liturgical readings for commemorating John's birth are rich in references to the unborn child in the womb. Yeah, we had a trifecta of feasts going on, heading into the weekend when the Dobbs ruling was announced. The Nativity of St. John the Baptist had been transferred to Thursday, June 23rd, and then we had the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus on the 24th, and then on June 25th, we had the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. How can we not see the hand of God in the timing? Also, just in case you were not aware of this, 5 of the 6 judges on the Supreme Court who struck down Roe and Casey, Chief Justice John Roberts, Associates Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, are all faithful Catholics. Neil Gorsuch, the 6th one, is an Episcopalian, but he was apparently raised Catholic. Now, my daughter Alexis, who has been on with me before on Pro Life to the Max, telling us about her work outside of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood as a sidewalk advocate, had planned months ago to marry her fiancé, Ethan, on June 24th. So that morning, we were all busy getting ready for the big day when my son Andre, who records and edits this program, called, just as we were walking out the door, to let us know that Roe had been overturned. Of course, we were all elated at the news and once again saw the hand of God in the providential timing. Alexis has spent so much time out on the sidewalks in front of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, offering love, hope, and help to the women going in. And so it was like a little kiss from God that such good news should occur on her wedding day, where we were gathered with family and friends to celebrate not only her and Ethan's nuptials, but also this great pro-life victory. Now, June 24th was also the eve of the birthday of Nellie Gray, who founded the annual March for Life in 1974 in response to Roe versus Wade. Nellie has also been credited with popularizing the term pro-life. Nellie died in August of 2012, so June 24th, 2022, the day Roe was overturned by the Supreme Court, would have been the eve of her 98th birthday. Oh, how the heavenly stars were aligned in many ways, including quite literally, adding again to the praise and glory of our Creator. And as I walked into the Sacred Heart Chapel there at the Mother of the Redeemer Retreat Center very early on the morning of Friday, June 24th, I stopped to take in the celestial beauty of that rare and grand 5-planet alignment of Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn as they lined up in planetary order with a waning crescent moon between Venus and Mars. It was so beautiful, and all I could think about was what an awesome Creator we have and how good He is to us. And I thought thought of the canticle in Daniel chapter 3. Bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. You heavens, bless the Lord. Sun and moon, bless the Lord. Stars of heaven, bless the Lord. Well, little did I know that on the peak day of this heavenly marvel, our Creator would also bless our country and the pro-life movement with a major legal victory. With the overturning of Roe and Casey, it's as if our Lord has permitted the veil to be parted a bit. We've been given a glimpse of how our prayers, penances, sufferings, and charitable works over the many years have been put to good use and are having an impact. But it's also so vital that we realize that we are not done. In fact, it's only the beginning of the end of abortion. The road ahead of us that we must travel is still a very long one, and it will be quite challenging. Those who support abortion are very angry over this decision, and many are calling for a revolution. I'm sure you've heard of groups like Jane's Revenge proclaiming that it is open season on pro-life organizations. You've heard, no doubt, too, about pregnancy care centers coming under attack, being graffitied, and even firebombed. We need to be prepared and not to become complacent. The one thing that must be made clear is that the Dobbs case did not outlaw or make abortion illegal throughout the United States. It only said that a legislature, whether state or federal, now has the right to protect unborn life in the womb. In other words, the majority justices declared that the high court was returning the authority to regulate or prohibit abortion to the people and their elected representatives. So that means Indiana can now outlaw abortion, assuming our legislators pass a bill to do so and that our own state Supreme Court would uphold such a law. There were already several states that had trigger laws banning abortions the moment Roe v. Wade was overturned, and others since then have moved in that direction. When all is said and done, an estimated 26 states are expected to have laws that greatly hinder or totally ban abortion. We are fairly confident that our own Indiana will be numbered among those states eventually, and we'll get to that specific subject here in a few moments. It's very important that we be praying now for our governor, Eric Holcomb, and our legislators, and contacting them to encourage them to give full legal protection to the unborn in our state. Now, I want to bring up a word of caution here, especially as it concerns the problem with activist judges, because such judges are also found at the state level, and they might end up greatly hindering a state's attempt to make abortion illegal. The Dobbs case simply removed stringent judicial oversight on abortion laws. Prior to Dobbs, when a judge looked at a law that had been passed by a legislative body, whether at the state or federal level, he or she did so with a mind to determine whether that statute imposed an undue burden on a woman's alleged right to have an abortion. That has been removed now, but unfortunately, activist state judges are out there, standing ready to thwart any state law banning abortion by coming up with their own novel and unique legal theories and rights. In other words, many of them are more than happy to invent the right to abortion in that state's constitution. Already, the high courts in at least 9 states have held that a right to abortion exists in the state constitution, separate and distinct from the federal constitutional right declared in Roe and Casey. In those cases, that means the Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs is irrelevant, and that to make abortion illegal in that state would require an amendment to the state's constitution. So for some states, and who knows how many at this point, the possibility is out there that instead of abortion policy being decided by the people through the legislative process, activist judges at the state level could give their judicial fiat that a mother's right to kill her unborn child is found in the state's constitution. So we'll be watching closely how all this plays out. Now, already in states like Kentucky, Louisiana, Texas, and Utah, there has been a state judge that has placed a temporary restraining order blocking the enforcement of the abortion ban that was passed by the state's legislature. If those temporary injunctions become become permanent. No doubt appeals will be made, and then the ultimate decision on whether that state can ban abortion or not will be left to the state's Supreme Court justices. So all of this is a good reminder of how very important are the state and local elections of judges, and also the election of a governor of a state who may appoint justices. And here in Indiana, Supreme Court and Court of Appeals judges are selected through what is called the assisted appointment method, where the governor selects a nominee from a list provided by a nominating commission. It can start to get rather confusing when talking about the appointment of judges, but the bottom line is that when we vote, we need to make sure that we are voting for solidly pro-life and pro-family judges and governors, along with legislators. Now, as celebratory as we might have been with this decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in the Dobbs case, I've talked with a lot of people who also felt like this jubilation was immensely overshadowed by a type of sadness. Some pro-lifers were surprised that they weren't as happy as they thought they'd be upon hearing about the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And I confess, I count myself among that number. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it until I read Micah Clark's comments on his feelings about the Dobbs case. Micah is the executive director for the American Family Association of Indiana, and he wrote the following in an email. I really thought I'd be overjoyed with the overturning of Roe after 50 years of a flawed ruling and 62 million aborted babies. After all, I have fought for the right to life for 30 years in the Indiana public square and in the halls of government. So why do I feel so gloomy? I think it's because I love America and I am hurt by what I see. This ruling tore the lid off the shocking state of spiritual darkness and evil that has poisoned the minds of a huge number of Americans. There's no hiding from it or putting a good spin on it. We are becoming a nation of barbarians. Some states, not all, perhaps half, will restrict abortion. This reality has people losing their sanity. The Bible talks about sin becoming so pervasive in a culture that people are given over to a reprobate mind. These are people who cannot discern right from wrong. We have people who are violent in their desire to be sexually irresponsible in a time of unprecedented access to contraception. The callous things they say about sex, life, and abortion are incredibly illogical and shockingly vile. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer who said, "The test of the morality of a society is what it does for its children." For a large swath of America, morality is simply gone. That fact saddens me. This is a spiritual war. It needs spiritual weapons. Please make a point of regularly praying for our nation and for a return to God that we so desperately need. Well, in addition to those words from Micah Clark, there was also another great little write-up penned by a friend of Micah's named Peter Heck, who felt very much the same way. Peter wrote, "I have an honest admission to make because I have a weird feeling that I'm not alone in this, and maybe this can encourage a fellow believer. Ever since the landmark ruling in Dobbs reversed the judicially created right to abortion that had been imposed by unelected judges on citizens in all 50 states for nearly 50 years, something has been bothering me. I expected to feel triumphant, but I don't. Certainly, that isn't because I don't rejoice at the inevitability that there will now be far more beings who bear the image of Almighty God permitted to draw their first breath in the world in which they were created to live. By all accounts, I should feel excited and hopeful, but I don't. And the only thing I can conclude is that I don't feel that way because I see hearts that have been made even harder, hatred that has become more visceral, division that has become more pronounced, and contempt that has become more widespread. I see misinformation and hysteria ruling the public conversation, driving hateful wedges between people who ultimately have no reason to be at odds with one another. I see rage fomenting explosive outbursts that pull back the curtain to reveal the moral poverty of darkened hearts. And though I know in my own heart and mind that Jesus is the answer to all of it, the only hope lost humanity has of attaining enduring peace and eternal joy, I see how many are blaming faith in Christ for the deprivation of their rights. The hatred seems so strong, so controlling, so overwhelming. How can I possibly persuade them to set aside the man-made idols they worship, to burn the man-made altars they have created, and submit to the Prince of Peace? Why, in this environment, will they ever believe that the same God who cares for unborn children also cares for them? How can I be an effective ambassador of Christ when they so fervently and passionately regard me as their enemy? Now more than ever, I'm at a loss to answer those questions, and I'm sure that's why my heart seems heavier these days than most, and far heavier than I ever thought it would be should Roe be overturned. I must do everything I can to live like Jesus, choosing to submit to the sometimes difficult truth that this life isn't about my feelings, but my faithfulness. May I be found faithful today. Beautiful words there from Peter Heck that sum up quite well how many of us might be feeling in the immediate aftermath of a post-Roe world, and also how very important it is for us to strive to become more Christ-like every day. Now, sadly, here locally, we've had an opportunity to see this vicious anger and great spiritual darkness on full display since Roe was overturned. Just standing on the sidewalks outside there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, I can tell you that the anger in the voices of the many who scream out at us has intensified. And then specifically on Monday, June 27th, a group called the Party for Socialism and Liberation organized a huge protest at the Monroe County Courthouse. There were probably 200 or 300 people there as abortion slogans were chanted to the beat of a snare drum, starting at 3 p.m., the hour of mercy. According to the Indiana Daily Student Paper, a couple of other groups were also involved with promoting this event: the IU Students Against Reproductive Restraints and the Monroe County National Organization for Women. The paper stated that the speakers were also highly critical of the Democratic Party and President Biden's response so far to the Dobbs decision, that they weren't doing enough and weren't acting aggressively enough to ensure that abortion remains legal, even up to the moment of birth, in all states. After about a half an hour of being there at the courthouse, the group then headed down to College Avenue to protest the Women's Care Center, a place that the Party for Socialism and Liberation claims is a fraud and which tries to scare or shame women into not having abortions. The loud chants continued as the protesters stepped onto the private property there at the Women's Care Center, surrounding the front and back doors, intending to intimidate the workers there. I had some brief correspondence with the director of the care center, and she said that the protesters were even banging on the windows and doors as they yelled at them. I can't even imagine how frightened they must have been. Well, the police were called, but I don't even think any arrests were made, and the workers were safely escorted out. And the leaders of PSL announced that they'd be back the next day. I don't think I need to tell you just how ugly and vulgar were the signs that many of the people held during this protest, and how very unpleasant in appearance were the far majority of those who gathered. A physical manifestation, it seems to me, of the condition of their poor souls, and oh, how they need our prayers and penances. Well, about 20 of them did return the following morning, which was Tuesday, June 28th. They were back with their signs, and I saw them all there in front of the Women's Care Center when I showed up to pray and do some sidewalk advocacy. I think the most frightening thing that I witnessed was the fact that the far, far majority of vehicles that passed by them there on College Avenue honked in support. It was like one long, continuous blare. Well, these protesters finally figured out that some pro-lifers were nearby there outside the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. So several of them made their way over to us, and they were pretty cruel and ugly. In fact, a couple of them made some threats, and the police had to be called. And this goes back to the words I just read from Micah and Peter. Why do I feel so sad now that Roe has been overturned? I think it's because I love America and I am hurt by what I see. This ruling tore the lid off the shocking state of spiritual darkness and evil that has poisoned the minds of a huge number of Americans. Well, as those protesters left on Tuesday, they were heard to say that they planned on being out there again on Wednesday and for as long as we're out there. Well, thanks be to God, we have not seen much of them, though. But that makes sense because they have the socialist mindset that wants a quick, easy fix by using force, violence, intimidation, and thwarting authority and rules. In fact, during one of the speeches at the Monday protest, the leader of PSL urged the crowd to become ungovernable. Solutions in their minds are all based on convenience and quickness. They normally aren't up for spending long hours in the hot summer sun or in the cold winter winds to patiently and calmly work and pray for their cause. Violence, like abortion, is the answer to solving problems in the socialist and communist mindset. Well, the battle over life has just begun, and it will soon shift to our state capital. Governor Eric Holcomb recently signed a proclamation calling for a special legislative session to discuss the abortion issue on July 6th. Unfortunately, for whatever reasons, that date has been moved out to July 25th. That means the killing of the unborn will continue to remain legal in Indiana for several more weeks at least. We need to pray for Governor Holcomb and our state legislators and judges as never before. We also need to contact them to encourage them to legally protect the unborn from the moment of conception. Let's also continue to pray in gratitude for the moral courage shown by those six U.S. Supreme Court justices who overturned Roe and Casey, and to pray for their families and protection. I'll end with some good news that should give us hope as we now work and pray to end abortion here in Indiana. A Pew Research study found that among adults in Indiana, 51% say that abortion should be illegal in all or most cases. 43% say it should be legal in all or most cases. Among Hoosier Catholics, 58% say that abortion should be legal in all or most cases, and 41% say that it should be legal in all or most cases. Sounds like we've got lots of catechizing that needs to be done within our own Catholic parishes here in Indiana. At any rate, according to Pew, a good majority of Hoosiers believe that abortion should be banned. We've got something to work with here. We just need to keep speaking the truth in love and reaching out to help those women and families who are in need and facing a challenging or difficult pregnancy. After all, it is love that will finally end abortion. Thanks so much for joining me today. With all that is going on right now, we may not be able to bring you a new program every week, but we'll try our best. And don't worry, we'll air a previous episode if we don't get to a new one. Thanks for all of your support and prayers. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.